Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Shareathon 2024, and we're having a lot of fun having some of some guests that we love to have on KFUO. And we were just chatting a little bit ago about how much we love doing history series.
Yes.
And when it's time to do a history series, the person to go to is the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie. He's professor of historical theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, welcome back to the Coffee Hour.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you, and thank you for letting me be a part of the Shareathon. I'm glad to lend my voice to support of your ministry and all the good things you do. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, we always have a lot of fun. Sarah, how on a scale of 1 to 10, when we get to study history, learn about history with Dr. McKenzie, yeah, it's off the chart.
I mean, it goes to 11, so, if I do say so.
Where did this history series idea begin? I think we chatted about probably some historical event and said, oh, we need to have a series about this. And
yes.
You said, I'm game. Let's do it.
Yes.
And so then we brainstormed what would be fun and said, you pick Dr. McKenzie. And that's when you said, how about the English Reformation? And it all... Man, it all just spiraled from there.
The rest is history.
So, Dr. McKenzie, why is it important to remember and teach the church's history today? I mean, this is your life's work. Why is it important? Mm-hmm.
It is. But before I answer your question, I just want to comment. And you've enjoyed it. I enjoy it, too. Years ago, a friend of mine described my personality this way or my career this way. He said, well, you like to read books and then tell other people about them. And your program gives me an opportunity to tell lots of people about the stuff I've read that I have found interesting and worthwhile. And I hope others do too. And the fact that you guys say you do, but you invite me back, so I guess probably you do really and truly. So it's been a very nice relationship for me as well. So thank you for letting me be a part of your programming. But now you asked the question of why history and what's important about it.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just start with a very basic thing, but sometimes people, especially who aren't Christians, don't realize it. But Christianity is a historical religion. And I don't mean just that Christians are people in history, but at the root of Christianity is the idea that God has acted in human history. God, the universe, you know, operates according to natural law. We all agree with that, et cetera. But God is not only in control of it, but he acts in it. Just think about the Apostles' Creed for a moment. We get to that second article, we're confessing our faith in Jesus Christ, and what do we say? Suffered under Pontius Pilate. Mm-hmm. Now, Pontius Pilate is somebody you can find in the Roman history books. He's a person who really lived, and God acted through him in time and space. And, of course, what I'm thinking particularly of is the incarnation. Jesus, the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, became a true human being. And he walked around, he spoke, he ate and he drank, he touched people, people touched him. He was a part of human history as a true man, as much as true God. And then at the very end of his earthly ministry, he suffered, he died on a cross. And if you had been there at the time, you could have rubbed your hand on that cross and gotten slivers. And then finally, he arose from the dead, and he arose from the dead also as a part of our history. There were people there who saw it and witnessed to it. Think of what St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. He talks about all those who witnessed, and he says some have fallen asleep, but others are still alive, so you could go and see him. So Christianity is a historical event. It's a historical event with divine and saving significance, but it is definitely something in history. So God himself has chosen to make himself known by doing things in history. If you take away history, you really take away Christianity. So that's kind of where I start. Our God, the true God, acts in human history, and he has done so in a redemptive and saving way. So that's kind of point number one. Christianity is a historical religion. It's not just kind of philosophy. It's not just kind of good morality. It's not some kind of abstract truth about there's a God and so forth. No, at the core of Christianity, there are these saving acts of God in human history.
I think so. Those are some of my most favorite Bible studies, when I know pastors on Thy Strong Word and Sharper Iron, when they're going through the books of the Bible, they're pulling in these elements of, oh yeah, we're talking about this person in this chapter, and this is the rest of his history, and why this actually makes a difference in the story that they're talking about in Scripture. I think that you make such a great point that there's so many elements that are connected to Christianity, and learning all of that history is just so exciting and really important. Now, I know, like in seminary, our church leaders and pastors learn history. Why is it important for us as lay people to learn history as well?
Yeah, sure, right. Well, if we start from the biblical record of God acting in history, we learn and remember that God still is in charge of human history. God is the one who controls our destiny. Now, he does this in accordance with the promises that he has made to his church, to his people. So divine providence is a doctrine, but it manifests itself in the world and experience of his people. Christians don't believe in human sovereignty, that we make our own destiny. Nor, even though we say the world is wicked, we don't believe in the ultimate rule of the world by the devil. No, God is in charge. God is in charge. And history then reveals how he has acted in the interests of his people, how he has kept his promises over the long course of time, the 2,000 years since the time of Jesus. We take a look at the history of his people, what's happened to them, how the church has continued through good times, continued through terrible times, but God has kept his word and he has preserved his church, and history demonstrates then how divine providence has worked out for the sake of God's people. Now, normally, God acts through secondary causes. I mean, sometimes he does do miraculous things, and we can look to at least very fortuitous things that have happened in human history. But normally he acts through secondary causes. And what I mean by that is God, if he's going to cure somebody, he'll do that through medicine. If he's going to feed somebody, he'll do that through farmers. So in church history, we often study those secondary causes as the tools by which God has kept his word and promise. So we will look at a political situation, and we will look at the decision of a ruler, say Ethelbert of Kent in the 6th century, who became a Christian. And his becoming a Christian was kind of a beachhead for Christianity to spread among the Germanic Anglo-Saxon peoples of England. Well, God acted through Ethelbert. And so you can see then how God used human experience and human beings to move the church from one part of Europe into another part. So history then, the study of it just generally, does show how God works, how he has worked, how he's kept his promises, how he's preserved his people, how he's spread his word through the course of time. All of which he promised to do when our Lord himself was here and speaking about the Christian faith and life to his disciples. So that's another good reason for studying history. I'm going to mention one more thing here before I forget it, even though it's a part of why we like history, and that is history is all about people, and people are inherently interesting. They do things or they don't do things. They demonstrate good characteristics or bad characteristics, but whatever they do, there's a way in which human beings today can kind of connect with those folks in the past. We know circumstances change an awful lot, but people don't change an awful lot. So we have very interesting human stories in history, and it's even more exciting when those human beings are Christians, because then we can see how real people, people like us, dealt with the challenges, opportunities, temptations of their times and their lives. And we can kind of connect with that. And oftentimes, they can become examples to us, inspirations to us, sometimes of things not to do, but other times of things to do. So that's another thing about history. It's inherently interesting because of people. And we're dealing with Christian history. We've got Christian people. And we're Christian people, and there is a community of faith that we can still see, even if those people lived a long time ago and under a lot different circumstances.
We have just about a minute left to wrap up our time. I know it's gone so quickly.
I know.
It always happens when we're talking church history. I know we learned a lot in the first two series that we've done. We have another one on the horizon as well. We'll talk about that briefly. But what's your favorite era in church history to teach?
Well, that's a great question. I've got a standard answer. It's whichever one I am teaching.
I love it.
That's accurate.
Reformation, yeah. That's my favorite. Luther Church in America, that's my favorite. You know, it's just whichever one I'm teaching is one that's my favorite.
It's fantastic.
It's so accurate, though. That's very characteristic of you, because when you're teaching, you're in the moment. You're always there and just deep into whatever it is that you're teaching. So give us a preview of what we're looking forward to in our next series. We started with the English Reformation, sidetracked with the history of LCMS for a little bit, and now we're getting back. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off with the English Reformation and what comes next.
Yeah, well, what I'm interested in ultimately is helping people to understand the contemporary denominations. And those origins in America, most of those go back to England, if not to early American history, then back to England. And so we're going to be talking about the Puritan movement and the anti-Puritan movement. And out of that movement, we get the denominational origins of the Presbyterians. That's a big one. Congregationalists, that's another big one. And the Baptists. All of those groups in America have origins back in the British Isles, particularly in the Puritan movement. And I should also mention the Episcopalians. They, too, have their origins back in that period as well. So I think people will find that interesting and can kind of vaguely connect it with our current American religious scene.
Our guest today, the Reverend Dr. Cameron McKenzie, Professor of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. McKenzie, thank you so much for being with us on the Coffee Hour today during Share-a-thon.
Well, God bless you all, and pray that Share-a-thon will be a big success. Thank you for having me.
Share-a-thon 2024, you can be a part of it. Be a part of Share-a-thon 2024. We'll tell you about that in just a moment. You're listening to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.